Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Link.
And I'm Rhett. Joining us today at the round table of dim lighting are Roy Fabito and Alex Burris, creators of the popular YouTube channel, The Wasabi Bros.
If you don't already know, The Wasabi Brothers aren't actually brothers. Hate to burst your bubble there.
Oh, really?
They're best friends. We found a lot of parallels between the Wasabis. That's what I'm gonna call them, the Wasabis.
Okay, that makes it even more like they're brothers, but okay.
Yeah, it's not their last name. You said their last name.
I did.
That wasn't it. It wasn't Wasabi.
I didn't say Wasabi at all.
Wasabi's misspelled, so that's even more interesting. We did talk about that. But there's a lot of parallels between us and them, and we find a lot of those through our conversation, like what it takes to be best friends and business partners at the same time.
And these guys are successful business partners. I mean, the Wasabi Bros YouTube channel, Wasabi Productions, has 3.4 million subscribers. They recently reached 1 billion video views. The channel really took off back in 2012 when they created the characters Rolanda and Richard for a parody of the Carly Rae Jepsen music video, Call Me Maybe. You may have heard that song. In that video, Roy, who plays Rolanda, is wearing a skirt and a wig and has a huge unibrow. Alex plays himself and also a character called Richard, who's kind of an awkward guy who also has a unibrow, this one drawn on with an obvious marker.
Yeah.
If this sounds like something that would work on the internet, you are right, it did, and it has, because it has currently racked up 95 million views. Here's a clip.
Hi, my name's Rolanda. You're such a hottie. Can I kiss you? I want your body.
Ew, you're so ugly. Gross and smelly.
Can I kiss you? I want your body. Why? You don't like me. I so pretty. Can I kiss you? I want your body.
Ew, your face is crooked. No symmetry. Please get away now. Don't call me baby.
Now, Rolanda and Richard appeared in several videos after this one, and all of them are hugely successful. But beyond Richard and Rolanda, the Wasabi Bros make other sketches, also vlogs and challenge videos. They eat a lot of crazy stuff,
yes,
like we also do on GMM. All of their videos have this sort of high school friends or college roommates vibe to them. So you can go back to their original videos from 7 years ago, and you'll see a very similar feel to their most recent videos, and we discussed the reasoning behind that.
We also talked about their backstory, meeting in Durham, North Carolina. North Carolina, another parallel between us and them.
Mm-hmm.
How they started using Roy's dad's camera to make videos. That sounds familiar if you know our story.
We didn't steal Roy's dad's camera.
Yeah, that's right. We stole my dad's camera.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm most excited about you guys hearing is the conversation we had with them towards the end of the podcast, which was we got more counselor-ish and more therapeutic than we probably ever gotten. And I think it had to do with the fact that we're two best friends who run a business together and run a YouTube channel together.
We know how difficult it can be relationally.
Yeah.
And so when we find out that they've decided to move into different places, that Alex is going to move out.
Right.
And that it was Roy's idea.
And they hadn't really talked about
it.
They actually talked about that for the first time, really, on this Ear Biscuit.
Yeah.
I mean, we, of course, loved it. We love it when that kind of thing happens on an Ear Biscuit.
So, I mean, you tell us what you think as you listen to that. But we really did have a great time talking with the Wasabi Bros, and we know that you'll enjoy listening to that. But first, we got to give a little quick plug to our Song Biscuit album, y'all. Buy that on iTunes or Amazon.
Yes, and first of all, if you haven't done it yet, come on, guys. I mean, sure, the songs are there on YouTube, but you got to carry the YouTube around with you all the time. You got to get them from the iTunes and the Amazon so you can put them. When you go in the subway tunnel and you lose all internet, but you want to have a Song Biscuit in your ear, the only way you can do that is by getting the song on iTunes or Amazon. So please do that.
Here's a clip from one of the songs, the Bubbles Bullet song featuring Lee Newton.
If bubbles were bullets, I'd blow you away. I'd pop the champagne and make a clean getaway. If bubbles were bullets, I'd draw you a bath. Tough arses, mega nukes would deliver my wrath.
So thanks for heading over there and downloading that if you so please. And now on with the biscuit.
How many sound effects do you have?
I have just the water drop mostly.
Hit it a few more times.
Wow.
Roy's adding a beat.
Oh. Very nice.
Okay, we good. That was good. That was good. Good.
That was good.
Okay.
yeah. Were you waiting for us to say that was good too?
No, we thought you were gonna join in. We thought like usually when we
no,
do that,
I just enjoyed just the beat.
We were just watching.
Just
we're
watching.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever done that where like one of you make a beat and then the other one adds a sound and another sound and another sound and it sounds cool?
We haven't really done that.
Really?
We maybe, do it all the time. Let's do it real quick.
Maybe we should.
Bit.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Right. Here's the thing. This is why we're not gonna do it.
Okay. Oh, really? because they won't know who's doing it, so you can't take credit for it.
No, I think, and this is something maybe we'll explore over the course of this conversation, but. Rhett and I are such good friends. I know you guys are great friends. You go way back to like middle school, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that. But Rhett and I are such good friends since first grade. So we got you beat.
Ooh,
we always will. that there's certain things we're not comfortable doing that like best friends do. Like, well, oh, if you're going to do a sound effect, I'm going to add
here,
this.
Here's the analogy.
Because it starts to get a little embarrassing.
Here's the analogy.
Because people know how good of friends we are.
I wouldn't do that with my wife.
Ah.
And my relationship with Link is kind of like my other marriage.
Oh, so you're the wife. He's your wife. Okay.
You know, we're like an old crotchety married couple. And would an old crotchety married couple start a beatbox and then, I mean, you know what?
The other one's like, just shut up. You're embarrassing me.
I mean, maybe because we've just known each other for so long and we spend so much time together, which that we want to talk about that too, because just, I always love it when, there's so many parallels with you guys,
but
with, you know, just from where you're from and all that. And I think some of the insights that we have into the way that we carry out this whole business partnership, I love kind of seeing where somebody else is and how. So get ready to talk about yourself.
Let's start with this one though. Do you ever get embarrassed by your friendshipness? Like, oh, that's too best friendishness. We gotta, not that you talk about it, but.
I don't think so.
No, I just, this is normal to us. Yeah. Like, whatever.
It's the same, I think same as you guys.
We have a question.
What?
What would you guys substitute for the beatbox?
What would we do instead of the beatbox?
If we were to do it.
Yeah, you guys don't do that.
Even though we just said we would never do it, if we were to do it, what would we do?
Yeah. Like what would your substitute be?
I think it's usually Link saying, what's that smell?
Popcorn.
And then I'm like,
oh,
it's not me. And then we just run around the room trying to find the source of the smell. That is our beatboxing.
And then he's like, why are you always so concerned about the smell?
Tracking down the smell.
It's bickering.
Ours is better.
It's not.
yours is definitely better.
Oh, it's
not,
a lot better.
It's not a beatbox. It's more just like a sound. So I'll be like. And then you add another sound.
We can't
in
do
the
it.
End, it sounds
I know you want us to
you can
do
say
it.
Anything.
No, I can. I'm ready to beat it.
Okay,
this isn't about. This is about the four of us right now.
All right, we'll do it.
Right,
I'm going with the bass line.
So Alex, you'll start. Roy, you'll come in with that thing again.
It could be anything.
I'm going bass line because that's my role. I know my role. I'm getting to the back of all the pictures and always bringing the bass.
All right, we are going to do it because you guys. The two of us wouldn't do it, but the four of us can.
Right, exactly.
Okay, ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really trying, guys. Let's do this. Best friends forever. Best friends forever. We met in middle school. We're best friends forever. Let's make a YouTube channel and get millions of views.
Why did he turn into you? See, now we're going
to leave.
He didn't get the singer.
He can only be. It's like you were supposed to add a noise, and you added the noise that is your voice.
If you guys want to be my band, I'm all for that.
Yeah, that's you just saw
that works. Yeah.
You just saw like our week play out right here at the table. Okay,
Let's talk about the challenge.
Well,
the challenge that they did that we really like. We want to steal that idea from them.
Hmm.
The single bite thing.
One bite challenge. How'd you come up with that?
Go ahead. That's you.
We were at a. We were actually at dinner with a friend, and he was like, I was eating, and I was like, I couldn't finish, and I had a little bit left, and he was like, yo, one bite. And I was like, what? He's like, I bet you can't eat that in one bite. And I was like, oh, one bite challenge. And then we just thought, I was like, oh, we could do like a whole lemon, we could do a whole tomato, we could do some other things like sausages.
When I saw the name of it, when I saw the video title, I was like, okay, well, this is gonna be like, you just put a bunch of nasty stuff into one bite or whatever. But then when I saw that it was I'm gonna pull this corn dog out and try to eat a corn dog in one bite.
That was great.
I gotta say, I was actually a little, like when you got the pickle in your mouth, I was like, he is going to die.
He had to help me. I couldn't
even hit it. Because
it was totally sideways.
It was.
It was like a cartoon.
Yeah.
The way it was.
I could not get, like, it was, the worst part is like when you bit into the tomato or the pickle or whatever it was, it would squirt out because it's just so much in your mouth.
It's got nowhere to go.
Yeah, it has nowhere
to go. It's got to go
out. Yeah.
Well, but the thing that we do have in common, the challenge that you guys kind of took it a different way. Mm. You tried the Carolina Reaper with Furious Pete, but you went straight for the seeds. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
It was hot.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you go with seeds and not with the
purpose.
Pepper? Could you
it's
not
Roy's
get the
fault.
Pepper?
Oh, it's I my know fault. It's because I ordered it on Amazon and I was like, oh, cool, seeds. I mean, actual pepper. I was like, okay. And then I came in, and they were just seeds. Oh, crap, what are we going to do?
Well, you know, the only reason we got a hold of one is because we did the original Ghost Pepper challenge, and then a lot of people were saying, you guys should do the Carolina Reaper. And then a guy in North Carolina...
I'm familiar.
...shipped it to us. Huh. He shipped us
three.
Three of them.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
And we got to eat them
and
now.
And they smell...
like death.
Yeah, I mean, you only had the seed. Did the seed smell?
No.
They didn't have any smell.
I thought, I was like, maybe the seeds won't be as hot, but they're still pretty hot. They weren't as hot as I assume the pepper is, but did you see the last?
Yeah, we posted something today.
I wanted to talk to you about this because I saw your vlog about the 9 million Scoville sauce of death or whatever. So you pushed that video out today.
Yeah, that was today. We have it if you guys want to try it. I mean, we don't have it on us.
Well,
but
so I have actually kind of already drawn the line. We first of all, Link says he's not doing any more peppers that are hotter than the Carolina Reaper. Like when they come out with that.
Yeah.
And I'm basically saying, okay, I'll do it, even though I'm not looking forward to it. But I'm drawing the line. I'm not doing any of that extract sauce stuff.
Yeah, that's three times hotter than the Carolina Reaper, what we did.
So
and
how
it,
are you still
it was
here?
A dropper?
No, we're supposed to get toothpicks, but we didn't have toothpicks. So we got this dry spaghetti noodle and touched it to it and put it in our mouths and we both died. It was instant pain. I was like, waterfall, his like snot was running out.
Oh,
it was gross.
So like a drop, basically.
No, not even a drop.
Less than a drop.
Yeah. It was just a touch to the sauce, and it's a solid sauce. It's like a candle wax consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, really?
Oh, yeah, it's not good.
So what was the reaction?
Oh, man, I couldn't even talk.
Dude.
Like, he was trying to talk, and I couldn't talk at all.
It worse, because you had the spaghetti noodle.
Yeah.
And then he actually ate the whole spaghetti noodle, so the actual extract got in his throat.
Yeah.
The throat is the worst. That's what I tell everybody. The throat is
so bad.
When I did the ghost pepper.
Every stage is the worst.
Every stage is
going through it.
But the reason.
There are many stages.
The final stage was horrible for Link because he didn't eat bananas.
Yeah.
That's the secret. You eat bananas before and after. I had like eight bananas.
Wait, why does that do? Does that?
I don't know.
Does it help the heat or helps like the aftermath?
It like absorbs the stuff in your stomach and counteracts it a little bit.
We should do that.
And,
well, we don't have any more. We already did the 9 million. There's nothing harder than that, right?
There will be.
There will be. Yeah.
So that was the hottest sauce in the world?
I mean, I assume
hot sauce,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. You guys can take that crown. I'm not interested.
Let me ask this. Are you guys instinctively this adventurous as just people? Or is it you're willing to do things that then you want to produce great episodes and great content that's gonna perform well?
Mm.
So would you have done that without cameras rolling?
No.
No.
I mean, I would have I would have maybe tried a pepper if my friends wanted to do it, but I wouldn't be like in my room alone, be like, I'm gonna eat this pepper right now and just eat it. I would at least tweet it. Like, right. I just ate this pepper.
I think about the past few years of our lives, we don't have crazy things that we've done intentionally that haven't been part of a video.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, oh, if I'm gonna tell that story or I'm gonna do that, that's gonna be for views.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are kind of living that same thing. Probably even more than we are, because we do the Willet or the weird food or the hot pepper, but it's less regular than you guys are doing it.
Yeah, we just, I don't know, they just really like that stuff. So we do it, and then our favorite thing to do is sketches, but they like that. So we're like, okay, we'll torture ourselves a little bit. Right. But he is better at it because I always do it after him, even though we're like same time. It's like I can't. I don't know why. I just stop. But there's one thing that we will never do, and it's because of him.
Okay.
Oh.
He has a big
fear. Can we guess?
Yeah, go ahead. It's something he's really scared of.
But is it? Okay, so it's animal related.
Oh, you know what?
No.
It could be.
Is it food related?
No.
I think it's not animal related. Something that you're scared of. This is to give you an idea of the kind of research that we do for your business. Uh-oh. You're scared of being shocked.
Oh, he got it.
He got it. How did you? What?
You don't have anything that shocks me here now.
Actually, we do have a shock cane.
We have a shock cane that's a stun gun. We have both been shocked by it. So hold on. So you're afraid to be
I'm not.
Shocked.
I'm not afraid of anything.
Is that because you have been shocked?
Yeah. When I was like 5, I was, my uncle had like this gadget or this little generator, battery generator, and I just touched it, and it shocked me for like straight like 3 seconds. Like,
oh, no.
Oh, gosh, you seized up.
It like grabbed hold of you, and you couldn't get away from it.
Uh-huh.
You were glued to it.
Yep.
And then
my uncle saw me and just pulled me away from it.
So how does the fear of being shocked impact you beyond not making a video about being shocked? I mean, like, there's not a lot of shock from day to day, right? Like, you don't plug things in?
I do. I mean, the actual just physical touch of electricity.
But when you're plugging things in, do you, like, you're very conscious of, like, I'm not going to get my hand on the inside of the prong?
It's not a neurosis.
No.
That's good.
It's just I'm not going to make that video.
Yeah. I've tried to get him to do it. I'm like, come on, man. It'd be cool because you're so scared of it. The reaction will be awesome. And he's like, no. Like, serious. Dude. Like, never.
Yo, this one time in seventh grade, one of my classmates, he had like one of those electric shocky pins. And he's like, hey, can I borrow a pencil or a pen? And I was like, okay. And I actually touched it. I screamed so loud.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah! And the teacher looked at me like, what's wrong? I was like, I got shocked.
I put a key in an outlet one time.
How did that turn out?
I was like 7. Well, my brother did it first, and then he said it hurt, so I wanted to check, and it hurt. It did hurt.
Did you unlock something?
No.
Nothing?
Yeah, I've been shocked by just like a wall outlet before. It's not pleasant.
It's not. It hurts.
Now, back in when you were 5, getting shocked, that was in the Philippines. You grew up in the Philippines.
No. I was there. I grew up there for like 2 years when I was like 5 and 6.
5 and 6.
Yeah.
So where were you before?
Here.
You were here, then you moved there.
No, I was born there, then I moved here when I was 2, then went back there when I was 5, came back here when I was 6 or 7, and then I live here now.
Okay, yeah. So your parents are Filipino.
Yeah.
And where are you from, Alex?
I'm half Filipino.
You're half Filipino,
mm-hmm.
But you never lived there.
No, I just went there for the first time this year. Yeah, this year for a friend's wedding.
Okay.
And it was on my top place to go, so.
So where did you grow up?
I was born in Montana.
Montana.
And when I was like 1, we moved to Kentucky. And then when I was 10, we moved to North Carolina. And then when I was 24, I moved here.
Okay.
To LA.
Yeah. And so we got the North Carolina connection.
Uh-huh. So when you were 10, you moved to North Carolina where you already were.
Yeah.
And so that was when you guys met?
We met like 3 years, like when I was like 13. I think
we met in middle school, but he doesn't remember.
I thought it was high school until he told me it was middle school, and I was like, well.
But you lived close to each other, right?
Yeah, the same street.
And you lived there for a few years without really knowing each other.
No, we knew each other because our Filipinos just are drawn together.
Was it like a Filipino community?
Yeah, there's a Filipino community. Filipinos are really close. Yeah. Oh no, not in our neighborhood, but there was a lot of Filipino families in our neighborhood.
And this is in Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So not far from where we grew up.
Mm. Where was you at? Where were you at?
Buies Creek, so like 40 miles south of Raleigh. So from,
that's not far.
You know, we might have been an hour and a half from Durham.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe an hour.
Yeah.
And you all 3 went to NC State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
you said so all 3. Who's the third one?
You 3.
Oh. Yeah. Roy's with us now.
Yeah. You're by yourself now.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. So you guys meet middle school, high school, whatever one, middle school is correct.
Yeah.
And what was that? Is there an epic first meeting story? Apparently not, since you don't remember.
No, there is.
I remember.
He remembers.
I was waiting in middle school and waiting for my parents to get me. And then this guy comes out of nowhere with a car. It's like, hey, man, you want to try some magic tricks? I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, here you go. And he just ran away. I'm like, oh.
And that was our first encounter.
He doesn't remember that.
That was a spot on Alex.
Yeah. My voice was really high in middle school. And it's still high now, but it was really high.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah. I know, everybody
before
says that.
Before it changed to
but
what
I'm
it
telling
is
you,
now.
My nickname was Mickey Mouse in middle school. And it was bad.
What was the magic trick?
I don't remember. I don't know. I was probably just trying to impress a girl or something. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go get that Filipino guy to do this trick. And I ran over there.
You sawed him in half or something?
No, it was just some trick. I don't even remember.
I don't remember either. Yeah. I know it was cards and you made one disappear. I don't know.
Was it cool?
I was like, oh, okay.
Okay,
it was
okay. That's cool.
It was cool.
I want to go home.
Just trust me. It was cool.
So what was Durham, North Carolina growing up? What was that like for you guys?
I don't know. I just kind of just got used to it. It's super chill, a lot of trees.
Tobacco? You got tobacco warehouses.
Yeah, there's like big for tobacco.
Like downtown Durham, we did that. We went to the woods a lot because we would, in our neighborhood, there's like this trail that led to the woods and we would like build a fort.
Now, Durham has kind of a dichotomy that you've got like the nice Durham and then you've got like the dangerous Durham, the crime Durham.
Yeah.
So where did you fall on that? You got the Duke University Durham and then you got the like drive-by Durham.
Oh, we're like in the middle.
Yeah, it's like mixed some places we went to.
You're like 10 minutes away from the hospital.
I went to Northern High School. Do you guys know about not. Well,
Northern
Durham. But it was Northern High School, and it was like, it was the school that is like, there's like, I remember we were Riverside, which is the better new school, and then we moved a little bit farther, so we went to Northern. And when I went to Northern, there was, I think there was like 27 fights in the first month.
Dude, it was like borderline ghetto, like rednecks.
And after all of them got expelled, then there's no more fights because all the fighters got expelled. But then there was a bomb threat called one time.
Oh, that was so cool.
And they made all the students go into the field, into the football field. And then everybody, apparently there's just all these fights. Everybody's breaking out fights. We're like, what's going on? And a gang called the school called the bomb threat to get everybody outside so they can fight, fight them. No, and then people are like heat strokes, cops are trying to get people, everybody's trying to juke them. And then other kids are like running for the cars and the teacher's like, don't go anywhere, even though there's fights everywhere. And I was protecting my girlfriend at the time and I was like getting punched in the back by random people. It was crazy.
It was a free-for-all.
Yeah, so we're really, we're pretty gangster.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
What was the dynamic in being Filipino, and how did that play out? Was that a thing, or was it like that's not a thing? You know, I mean, was
because we're from North Carolina. We know.
Yeah,
we know how it is.
Right.
There is a tendency to point out everyone's differences early on.
I don't know. Honestly, I just adapted to the lifestyle. Yeah. I didn't really think about that stuff. I'm like, every now and then they'd be like, hey, it's our friendly Asian. I'm like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah. We were the neighborhood Asians.
So it wasn't a thing. You wouldn't call it a struggle.
No, there's probably like, I was probably like one out of every, there were like probably 1 to 3 Asians in all my class. So I was usually the Asian guy in the class. And that's it. Like, it wasn't, nobody ever said, hey, Asian guy. I'd be like, hey, what's up, man?
And were you, either of you, both of you can speak to this, were you kind of becoming the class clown, the entertainer?
Oh yeah, I did. I was in detention all the time. I was getting in trouble all the time. But the teachers, I was like really good friends with the teachers. Like all the teachers got along. Like I wasn't very good in grades, but I never failed because the teachers were like, oh, it's just Alex. We'll let him pass. I was like, okay, thank you.
I was more of like the just calm guy, following the rules and stuff like that.
You were studious.
Yes.
So then when did things start to develop, you know, what was percolating that led to being YouTubers? How did that start to happen?
Okay, in eighth grade, parents got a camera they would never use, so I took it and then I just made some random, like, back in the day, it was like lip sync videos and dance videos.
This was pre-YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like the first year, YouTube.
5 or 4.
Yeah. So you made lip sync videos, and for who?
Just for the
internet.
Not at the time. I was just bored. It's like, yo, I have a camera and then I have a Windows Movie Maker. Maybe I can make something out of it. And that was my mindset. I made some random videos and then YouTube was there. It was just a platform for like videos at the day. And then
we saw it more of like a storage space. Instead of like, it's just like so he could show his family and friends if he puts it on there and be like, oh, you can just go here and watch it.
And that's why the YouTube channel is actually called Hoy, it's Roy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it was just your idea. I'm going to start this YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then, actually, you guys weren't collaborating.
Uh-uh.
Not at the time.
What were you doing?
At the time?
You were just lip sync videos, just you?
No, there's like eight, right?
I just got a whole bunch of my friends like, yo, you want to make a video with me? They're like, all right. And then later on, he came probably like, I don't know, like a year after.
He got into it and then he saw it was like a hobby, a passion of his, because he teaches himself everything. So he taught himself guitar, piano, drums, editing, and all this stuff. And then everybody else kind of fell off, and they just their kids, they got bored and whatever. And then he's like, hey, Alex, come make a video. And I lived down the street and I was like, okay.
So Alex was like the second string.
Yeah, I was
Wasabi Productions.
I was second string.
Was it called Wasabi Productions?
No, it was just Wasabi at the time. And
okay.
Wasabi came when I watched Jackass the movie, when Steve-O snorted wasabi, and I have never heard the word wasabi before. I was like, oh, that's a cool word. And then I misspelt it. I was like, oh crap.
So it's not a play on ass.
No,
it's
now, just... no. But it's cool
now
though.
It is.
Turned out that way. Yeah.
It's just wasabi misspelled.
We're wasabi with extra ass.
So
it works.
Yeah.
So you brought Alex in on what you were doing whenever all your other true friends abandoned you.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're busy, we can't do it.
And I was recruited. Like, all
right. So then you, because how old are you guys now?
23.
25.
Okay. So you kind of experienced high school and YouTube success all at the same time.
Yeah, it was weird because we went to different high schools, but we lived near each other. And then I moved next to him, but for one more year, we stayed at the high school I was at. And then I moved to his, and when I went to his, we were already making videos for a year, and everybody at the high school knew me, and it was weird for me. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I think you guys might be the first people that we've talked to that experienced that success while in high school. I mean, what is that like?
It was just weird. Everybody just knows you.
Smosh, too. It was kind of the same thing, and at the same time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So
people liked the videos. It wasn't oh, you guys are weird for doing that. It's
people wanted to be a part of it. They're like, can we make videos too? And we're like, oh, I don't know.
And what do you think? I mean, at that time, did you have some kind of sense that this is pretty cool. This might go somewhere. Did you guys have did either of you have more of a business mindset towards this could become something, or is it just this is cool, I don't know what I'm going to do with
it? Yeah,
it's basically a hobby. Okay, let's keep making videos or whatever. Because we didn't make any money off of it. So it's like, oh, this
is... Yeah, at the beginning, it wasn't for money. We didn't know.
But you did, but it was called Wasabi Productions. I mean, it sounded like a company.
Yeah, it sounded, right? It just sounded cool.
And you put it on the front of the videos even back then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that mindset that were you emulating anyone else, or was it just we want to seem legitimate, or
it would just
be fun to call ourselves something productions?
Yeah, it's either productions or films. I'm like, productions sounds cooler.
So it was aspirational.
Yeah, yeah.
But you gave it up to go to college. You kind of had to get real.
Yeah, for ten months we stopped.
What was that decision point like when you graduated from high school? You're big on YouTube, right?
Yeah, so but then, we still didn't it wasn't a big revenue source or anything. We're just making videos for fun, and then we were like, oh, time to grow up. And then eventually we were like, man, we missed it. So we just came back, and then it blew up again, and we're like, whoa.
So you went to NC State to study what?
Computer engineering.
Computer engineering. So our alma mater. And where did you go? What did you do?
I went to the University of YouTube.
I
was a class clown, so I wasn't very good in school, and I went to community college for a couple of years, but it wasn't for me. Even in community college, I was still the class clown. I didn't want to be. It's just part of me, just making people laugh.
So you kind of had to wait for Roy to come back around to the YouTube idea. Is that what happened?
I mean, we just both stopped. I went to work. I was working two jobs, and then he was in school, and then we just were hey, let's just make videos again just for fun whenever we have time.
Yeah. In the summer or something?
No, I don't remember.
You were still in... Well,
whenever he had time, he would text me and be like, hey, you want to make a video? I'm like, yeah, and then I would drive from Durham to Raleigh.
Oh, I remember one time, I don't know what caused me to think, let's make videos again. But I had a iPod Touch at the time. I was like, oh, dude, I should sell this for a decently nice camera. So I sold it and used the money to buy a decently nice camera, along with the money I got from work. And that's when we started back up again.
Okay, so you got the camera, and then what did you make? Was it a decision to just start it back up? More lip sync videos or sketches, or was it
that? We did sketches, yeah.
And did something really blow up then, or was it just more of just pick up right where you left off?
At first, we just did sketches for a bit, and then we heard about the old partnership program, so we deleted all the videos and just posted every once a month.
Yeah,
and then
we got more serious.
Yeah, then he would drive all the way to Raleigh from Durham every week, and then we would just film this random stuff.
Yeah,
and then it wasn't until the whole Rolanda Richard thing that kind of just blew us up a little bit.
Yeah, they love those characters.
Yeah,
and so how did those characters come about? Rolanda and Richard, was it for the Call Me Maybe video?
Yeah.
He came to me with a script, and I was like, hey. Or I was like, we were in Florida, and I think, and when the Call Me Maybe song came out, and I was like, dude, listen to this song. This is crazy. And then a week later, he was like, hey, by the way, I wrote a parody for that song. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we started making the parody, and then we're like, oh, we had these characters, and we're like, okay. And then we brought them to life. Like, he became Rolanda, and I became Richard, and we decided to draw on our faces and make it really out there.
Yeah, Rolanda was born because back in middle school, I used to, be a girl for Halloween, one of those middle school Halloween parties. So I would just show up with
You guess you did.
Yeah, guess so. So I went over there with a skirt, and I had two balloons in my chest area.
And a unibrow?
Not a unibrow.
Okay.
But I don't know how the unibrow came along.
We knew she was
nice
gross.
Touch.
We knew she was Alex was the heartthrob, and we needed somebody gross and disgusting.
Yeah.
And that's where Rolanda came from. And then we needed somebody even worse to be Rolanda's stalker. So we're like, okay, Richard. And now that's
Well, that worked.
Yeah, it did.
So when you put, did the Rolanda voice happen after you saw yourself in the mirror?
Oh, I have no idea.
Give us the voice.
Hi. Yeah. I'm Rolanda.
That just how much development went into that?
I don't know. I think right in front of the mirror. Oh, I remember I asked you. I was like, hey, how should this character sound? So I just tried different voices.
It was gross. Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, right? I remember. You were like, hey, how's this? And then how about this? And then with Richard, actually, something happened.
Because he's got a weird voice too.
Yeah, he does. We were going.
Give us a little Richard.
I'm Richard.
Ew, Richard.
She wants me. kind of talks through his mouth.
So that voice came from because we were in the middle of filming, and then he had to go home for something. He's like, oh, I got to run home. And it was 5 miles away. And then when he came back, I took a nap. And when he woke me up, he's like, let's go. And I was really tired. And I was like, okay. And he's like, just do some crazy voice. And I was like, and I was just really tired, super tired.
So tired that you couldn't talk through your mouth.
Yeah, and then it just sounded cool. And then eventually, you couldn't really understand what he was saying, so I had to clear it up a little bit. But it was really, you couldn't even understand at the beginning.
And that video almost has 100 million views now.
It does?
All these years later.
It's 95 million.
It's 95 million.
People just go back and comment, and it's I watched this when I was a kid, and it's still hilarious now. That's what the comments are, and I'm sure they're still kids.
Yeah.
You know, in one sense. But the thing that, for that video to blow up so huge, my assumption was, that was just out of nowhere. But what I didn't realize was that, now when I look back, the preceding videos on your channel were still getting millions of views.
Yeah, but that one blew those up.
So the earlier ones blew up because that one blew up.
I mean, they were big, but they
were still
weren't
big.
As big. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, you're in school, and you're kind of let's make this a thing. What was that conversation like? And what happened with school? You ended up finishing, right?
Oh yeah, I changed my major. I was like, oh, we blew up.
And change it to what?
Something. Film studies.
Okay. Oh, so you didn't drop out. Film studies.
Yeah.
His parents actually said, they're like, hey, we know that your business is kind of booming right now. And if you want to move to LA, which we feel is the right thing, then we won't be mad at you for not finishing. He's like, no, I'm going to finish for you.
But what did you have to say about that?
I was like, I'll wait. I'm not going to leave.
No, my mom actually just said finish school.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah.
I thought you told me that they said it's fine if you wanted to.
No, that's your parents.
Oh, my parents? I wasn't even in school.
You guys get confused about his parents or who's.
We've been friends for a long time. It's hard
to
keep track.
You start to take his stories as your
own.
I know.
We understand that. But what,
so for the record, your mom was like, you got to get a degree.
Oh, okay.
That's what
you can
said.
Wear that unibrow and get, you know, tens of millions of views. And probably shout outs from Carly Rae Jepsen. Did she shout you out?
I don't know. I want to meet you. I want to meet you. Call me maybe.
Well, what? Is this a role play? I got lost.
She's listening right now.
Yeah.
Oh, she is.
You're talking to her.
Yeah, I'm talking to her.
She never, you never had a
Ear Biscuits fan
conversation.
Yeah.
But she said, you got to get that degree. Did you get the degree?
I did. Yeah. I just did it for her because her dream was to, you know, for all her kids to get a degree. So
it meant something for you guys to go to college and finish. And you're like, I'm going to make that happen. But you're in the midst of this success. And by that point with the partner program, I'm assuming some financial success. So you're like, okay, we could do this. We can afford to move to LA. And by this point, because I want to kind of track the evolution of it kind of being this Hoy It's Roy thing to being Wasabi Productions. Like, when did this become a thing where it was like, this is a business partnership. This is our friendship, but it's also a business partnership. And this is going to be our thing. Mm. Like, were you guys thinking that in college?
Yeah, actually. Probably like a month after the whole Carly or the Call Me Maybe video blew up. And then we saw like the, I guess our paycheck. We're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then it just became like the same every single month. And then that's when we like talked to each other like, yo, we got to do something about this. So
yeah, it freaked us out because the first time we actually got a big like paycheck from what we're doing, we've already been doing it for like years. And then we went to Florida to see some friends, and I was probably making like $2,000 a month. And then we went there, and then I was like, on the way back, we stopped to eat. And I was like, man, I was stressing out. And like, I was like, man, I should not have spent that much money. What am I going to do? Like, I don't know. I was just stressing out. And he was like, oh, let me check Wasabi and see maybe there's something. And then he was like, whoa. And then he showed me. I was like, come on, man, stop playing. Like, I'm really stressed out. And he's like, no, this is real. This isn't fake. And I was like, what? And then we just like, I remember, I don't know. We just started pacing the Zaxby's we were in Georgia. We're like, oh my gosh, no.
I want one of everything on a Zaxby's menu.
It was
40,000 chicken things.
And so what was that conversation like? What was the conversation was like, we got to get serious. Was it like, we
didn't know if it was like a
start
gonna
a business
keep happening.
Or?
We thought it was like a one-time thing, and then next month it was the same thing, and then next month it was even more, and we're like, whoa. And then
we got a financial advisor.
Yeah.
And then he actually suggested that we should just like start a business, and then we just went from there.
Yeah, we got like retirement funds, and so we're in like stocks and all like investing and everything.
Because it wasn't just that one video. You kept making videos. Like the very next video, you brought back those two characters. Mm-hmm. That's got 20 million views. Then Richard was back in the next video. I mean, it was like every few weeks, you kind of, once that worked, you laid into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one's got almost 14 million, which is really smart. You know, because you weren't new to the game, you were totally ready to capitalize on it. And then it seems like you started to break out Music in Real Life 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and then people were going back, getting the older videos. And
we actually, Music in Real Life, we didn't know any other YouTubers or anything, but we saw Steve's thing, and like, we're good friends with him now. Steve Cardinal. And we saw him, we're like, oh, that's a cool idea. But you know, like how people do challenges now, and then everybody does a challenge. So we saw it like that. We're like, wow, he's really funny. Let's make a video like him. We didn't think of it as like, oh, we're taking his
stuff.
That's
his thing.
Like, yeah, we didn't. And then I didn't realize that until like we've already made like three. And then he actually tweeted at me, and he was a little upset. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you would be happy. Yeah, I thought you would like it. And then we didn't know it was gonna blow up like it did. So I could see how he could be upset about it. But we're like, we are so sorry. We're not gonna make any more. Okay. And then he's like, okay.
But now you're friends.
Yeah. And then I saw him in person, and as soon as I saw him, he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. I was having a bad day that day. Like, I just needed somebody to, like, talk, like, get mad at, and he just happened to be there. And I was like, oh, okay. And now he's really cool.
Now, the interesting thing is that your videos still have a certain vibe to them. It's kind of the, it's, they still have the, hey, my parents found, I got my parents' camera and we're having fun making a video, right?
How would you describe it?
Happy.
Yeah, I would describe it as we were kids when we started and we never left that kind of theme. So we, even though we got older, we kept the same, like, kids.
So
this,
you're right. Mm-hmm. So is my question is, was that calculated to be like, this is our vibe?
We definitely stuck with it and we learned how to like master that vibe. So like kids love it and we know how to make kids laugh. And our fan base is like 3 to 18 year olds. And they just, a lot of times parents come up to us because the kids are too young and they're scared to say hi. And the parents recognize us, or the kids are like, oh, and then they're like, oh, and so.
So this is kind of two-part question is, who do you picture, like when you think of a fan, who do you picture, like do you guys have somebody in mind when you're making a video? And then how is the fact that your fans are younger, how has that impacted like the content and how far you go and that kind of thing?
Well, we stay mostly PG and family friendly because of our fan base and because like brand friendly.
I would think of like someone like Shay Carl's kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're really big fans. So
yeah, they came up to us.
Like fans, I always imagine them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're really
cool. As long as we cater our like content towards them, then.
Yeah. Something good. That like we wouldn't want parents to not let their kids watch.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And has that been, I mean, you know, we do a similar thing. I think that the stuff that we create, we think of, okay, we'd like a family to be able to sit down and enjoy this. Mm-hmm. We may not have a kid in mind when we develop it, but you know, we'd like a family to be able to enjoy it. I mean, has that been a frustration for you?
Not really. I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
'Cause I don't know. We're not really like, there's not a lot of YouTubers like us, like family friendly and actually aim for the younger, we're like the Disney Channel of YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of friends, they do pranks or they like cuss or they do vlogs and like other people are saying things that we wouldn't usually say.
And I guess just, over time, like a unique thing. Get used to just the content you produce.
Yeah.
And that's what
we do like a lot of slapstick. Like we slap each other a lot and hurt each other.
Literally slap each other.
Yeah. He punched me in the stomach one time.
Oh, dude. There was like this one take I remember. You couldn't get the slap right, so you kept slapping me like 10 times, remember?
I don't know. I flipped him one time. I think he like sprained his ankle. Remember that one where I tried to get you to go over my back? Or like this, and then you like did it like 10 times, and then at one, you're like, oh, no, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what? You're like, I can't, my leg.
And stuff like that we know they like.
Because it doesn't, I mean, it's just pain. It's fine.
It's just pain.
Pain is okay.
That will change.
It's temporary, just, temporary.
It's just a pain that will not go away is what will start to happen. Trust me. You guys live together too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like the couches that you guys are perched on when you're doing different challenges or like in the patio area, this is like where you actually live, where you shoot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You shoot where you live, you know.
We live where we shoot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like your videos. I don't know why I'm laughing, but I definitely am.
It sounded like, well, the way you said it sounded like you live where you shoot, or you, like you were expecting somebody to finish, and you shoot where you live.
I was thinking about this. I was like, I'm unintentionally making it sound like the don't crap where you eat thing.
Don't crap where you eat.
Or eat where you
finish,
crap.
Yeah, now
don't
finish my sentence. Don't shoot where you crap.
So I'm interested in a couple of things. First of all, just the creative approach for you guys, and then the intersection between your friendship and your lives and being business partners, the thing that I think Rhett alluded to earlier. So first, let's just explore the creative approach. Mm-hmm. You have a schedule. It's like every Wednesday you got to come out with a video, and you're very consistent with that, which is pretty key. You know, everyone who's successful says that. I'm sure you guys would say that too. How challenging is it to keep it going? You know, when you've got that weekly thing, what's the creative process?
Well, since we moved to LA, we have a team now. Like, we used to do all our stuff all our own. Now we have two guys that help us out with everything, lighting, camera, editing. So that
do they really live with you too?
No.
Oh, one of them does.
One of them does.
Because okay. I get that vibe. It's like, okay, now they're perched on the back of the couch in this video, yeah, or they come in. Because you're putting them in the videos too. It's Kyle and
Will.
Will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're YouTubers, and we met them when we came out here because we were looking for people to help us out. And then it turns out, like, when then we started hanging out with them a lot, and we became really good friends, and now it's a team.
What? In terms of the, how do you guys divide up the creative process? Is there like a division of labor here?
Yeah. He used to do a lot of editing, but now that we have a team editing, now we both write.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll throw scripts back and forth. And now we actually have them see what they think about it.
Usually we film in bulk. So we film like probably like 7 videos in 2 weeks. And then we just release it. And after that, we take like a month off to just to like think of ideas and write, because we need that time to think.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Sometimes we get like, you know, writer's block or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really just, it sucks.
Well, there's an interesting dynamic too, because I know, Roy, you have a daily vlog. You're doing basically a daily video.
Oh, yeah, I just started.
And you've got Snapchat. And Alex, you don't kind of have that. You've got your Twitter and that kind of thing.
No, I Snapchat a lot.
So you're doing Snapchat too.
Yeah.
But the daily, see, like, are you doing the daily vlog and editing that too? Or are you getting some of the team to edit that?
No, I edit all of it. Yeah.
So, like, how is, like, the way that we work together, there's this, if one of us, when one of us wouldn't decide to do a daily vlog, because we would have a conversation about it before we did it, and we'd be like, you can't do that because you won't be able to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, how does that work with you guys? Is it just like, no, I'm going to do this and it's not going to get in the way? Is that you guys have a conversation before you decide to do something like that? How does that work?
I don't know. He just started.
You haven't had a conversation.
Yeah,
about
I just got bored.
I didn't know until I saw it, and I was like, oh, but I'm not upset about it or anything. Like, it's fine.
It used to be a gaming channel. I told you I'm going to start a gaming channel.
And
oh, crap. Yeah, I have no time for games, so I'm just going to change it to a vlogging channel.
But is that something indicative about your personality, that you're kind of like a starter? Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start the channel. I'm going to start the daily vlog.
Yeah. I just like to be productive.
Yeah. He's definitely a self-start. Like, everything he likes to learn on his own. Like, just like all the instruments. Like, everything is self-taught with him. Mm-hmm. And then I like having like direction. Like, I like having being taught. He likes learning by himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess also just the fact that we're here in LA now. Just get the vibe, just to do something. So I just try to do as much as I can.
So Alex, is there a motivation issue here with you?
No.
Do we?
What? Come on.
No, actually, my brother's moving out here in September. We're moving into separate places, and my brother's moving out to move in with me, and we're going to start like a brother vlog. So it'll be like a little twist to like just Alex, and now they're like, oh, he has a brother, so...
Because your brother already YouTubes.
He has a YouTube channel. And so we're going to do it together. It's going to be cool.
So, so how does that work? You know, you guys have different side projects that you're working on, and it's still, is it totally side project, or is it still something within Wasabi Productions? How do you guys work that?
I don't know. For me, it's more like a hobby. It's just something to do. I do every single day. So,
but I kind of get the impression that if you go off and do something like that, and you're like, we didn't really talk about it. He just kind of did it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, like, how often you guys have like, all right, let's talk about Wasabi Productions. Let's talk about where we're at, where we're going. Or is it kind of just like, this is kind of, you're kind of going, you're kind of making it up as you go along and like this works.
Well, we're kind of going with the flow, but like the reason I feel like it's okay that he started as because he did spend a lot of time editing, because I never edited. I did mostly writing. And then he did all the editing. And then now that we have a team doing the editing, he had so much free time. We both have a lot of free time. So I travel a lot. And then he does the vlogs. And that's just what we started doing with our time, extra time. And now I'm going to start doing the daily vlogs and travel.
What?
So, yeah.
Okay. And travel. So what's behind the... separation? You guys are separated now. You're going to be separated. You're moving out.
Yeah.
What's behind that?
I don't know. Why are we separated?
Because I hear things.
Oh, no.
I hear things.
The first time I heard about it is he came to me and I was like, hey, I think we should we just moved it, or we lived together in Raleigh. Once we started getting bigger, I was like, it just makes sense. Like, we'll film together at the same place. And then we moved here, and a couple months after we moved in, he was like, hey, I think we should separate when the lease is up. And I was like, why? And he said, our lifestyles are different. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I don't know what I like asked for explanation. I just agreed. So
let's talk about it now.
Yeah, let's talk about it now.
Let's do it.
I don't know what he's gonna say. I'm scared.
I'll ask for explanation.
Yeah. What's different about your lifestyles?
I don't know.
Roy, I'm asking Roy.
Are you asking me
now? Okay, go ahead.
All right, our lifestyles are different because.
He's looking.
This is an ear. Welcome to Ear Biscuits, guys.
they found the you guys found the controversy.
Yeah.
Roy,
so much pressure. I know.
This was your idea.
Our feelings. Okay.
This is your idea. You know.
You do today.
There's a diplomatic. I don't know. There's a diplomatic way to approach it, or maybe not.
I mean, he basically said our lifestyles are different. He does things I don't do. I do things he does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to
synergize. Yeah.
So, how does that impact you guys, your creative collaboration? Are you saying that this is also a creative separation?
No.
He said that our lifestyle is different, but he wants to grow as an individual. And that makes sense because we've been together for so long and we've always been like right next door or like a short drive away. And so separating would be, I could see how it could be good. I mean, I like living with you, but I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, we don't like butt heads. It's just I do some stuff that he doesn't do, and he does some stuff I don't do.
Okay. But from a creative...
That you're not going to mention specifically, obviously.
No, we can't do that. But
well, apparently one of them can be heard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, creatively, I think it's a good thing.
I mean,
that
it's not bad. We'll just have like another house to film in, and then we can always switch
right
off.
Well, that's the kind of... Yeah. I think this would be better ultimately for Wasabi Productions mm-hmm. if we did not live together. Is that part of it?
I don't know. I feel like we'll still see each other this time.
Yeah. I don't know. This is like, it's unventured territory. We've never been separate, so we're going to see what it's like.
Yeah.
But Roy, this being your idea.
Okay, go ahead.
Was, I think what Rhett's asking is, was it a personal decision or a business decision? And it sounds like it was just a personal decision.
Oh yeah, I think it was just personal.
And then from a business standpoint or a YouTube channel or a content standpoint, that didn't play into the decision. You just assume that the plan is for publicly, in terms of your content, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to affect how we work together at all. Because we're still going to be like close to each other. Like we already talked about, we're going to be either in the same community or like really close, so we don't have to drive far to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And you're going to keep the schedule intact.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you guys know, one of the things that we've experienced over the years is that one of the reasons that we've been so consistent with content, at least with like GMM, being able to do that for a few years, and it's the two of us. I mean, it's like, it'd be so difficult to do this by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Well, daily vlogs are kind of a one person thing, I think.
Wait, GMM.
But I'm just saying, like,
oh, no, I mean, I'm talking about,
but I'm saying, like, you know, Wasabi Productions continuing to evolve and you guys growing that. It's kind of the thing that in order for it to be successful, you kind of got to
work together.
You got to do it.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to separate. No. Like, it's never going to be like, hey, I'm leaving and you're on your own. We're always going to be together.
It's just we're moving in separate houses.
Yeah. We just got to grow up a little bit.
Growing up. Yeah. It's part of growing up to see what it's like.
Okay. And now,
are we okay, guys?
Open a wound. You have anything else you want to talk about to each other?
I mean,
you can talk to each other.
Do you have
this is a safe space, guys. This is a safe space.
I don't want you in my life no more.
Or okay. I'll put it to you this way: we'll gladly be a resource for comedic duo YouTuber advice if you have any questions for us related to that. We'd love to be of assistance to patch things up because clearly. Just kidding.
No. Well, you know, here's the thing I will say is that we talked to Smosh asked them similar questions. And I think we got, it was interesting. I think we got a pretty similar response.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might just be the fact that we're almost 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've, you know, like we were married with kids, separate families, before this whole YouTube thing started. And it was so, it had to work as a business. And there was so much like, and we're super analytical and there's just these constant conversations that go back and forth. When we kind of, we were talking to Ian and Anthony about things, it's kind of like they were, well, we haven't really, like they ended up having these moments during the podcast where they were talking to each other in a way that you could tell they never talked to each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's a plug for going back and listening to this Mosh podcast. But I kind of see the same thing happening.
Yeah.
With you guys.
Is he right? Was it Roy had this idea that you guys should live separately and you were just like, well, okay.
Yeah.
And then you really
didn't
discuss it.
I was surprised. I was like, oh, like I thought I did something wrong, but I didn't like, we're not really like, we don't really talk like straightforward, like, hey, stop doing that. Or I don't know. So we're kind of passive aggressive towards each other. So he was like, hey, we need to do this. And I was like, I didn't ask like why or did I do something. I was just like, okay. And so that's it. But we're working on it. We're trying. We had a talk recently.
How would you get?
You did have a talk.
Yeah, we had like, kind of had a serious talk.
Oh, yeah, I talked to you like last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, hey, man, I got to talk to
after
you
like 10 years.
Listen, those serious. I mean, most of the time, the serious talks with us happen in the midst of like a argument.
Yeah.
It isn't like, hey, let's have a discussion.
We've never had an argument.
I'm mad at you right now. And then it turns into, let's talk about our relationship.
This is really why I'm mad.
And then it becomes a relationship check-in.
Yeah.
We would not still be working together without those check-ins.
So I should do that.
Is that what you're saying? Roy, you said, I actually didn't see who said it then when you said, we've actually never had a fight.
Yeah, that's me. I don't think we've ever had like a straightforward argument where he was like, I'm mad at you. And I was like, I'm mad at you. I think.
Do you think that's a problem?
Well, I don't really ever get mad.
Me neither. We don't really get mad.
No, because I think Rhett and I, our stance is that's a sign of a problem.
Yeah, that's what people say.
So we
say.
Should get mad more often?
Yeah, I mean, it's
just hard to...
You should vocalize what you're actually feeling when you are mad because you're human, and when you work this close with somebody, there's got to be some conflict. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot like a marriage. I mean, we were kind of joking, but... When you work together as closely as we do, as you guys have to be as successful as you are, and then when you become as successful as you are, it's a complicated relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Where I mean, there's money involved, there's friendship involved, and name all other things. There's kids involved.
You can't
guys
do
have kids
anything.
Together?
You can't do anything. Ultimately, that doesn't affect the partnership in some to some degree.
Oh man, my heart feels. My heart feels so warm right now.
Is there anything you want? Like anything, any problems you ever had?
No, like, I talked to you last week.
Yeah, yeah. And the only thing I ever was like, I was like, because sometimes I feel like you were mad at me and I didn't know why. And then, but we don't talk. So I was just like, dang it. So I would try to figure it out on my own. And then like it never fixed it. And I was like,
tell
dang
me.
It. I don't know what it is.
Oh.
I just like always felt like you were annoyed by me for like a while. And I was like, oh, maybe it's a phase, but it was for a while. And then. Like,
so
we
then
just
you
never
wrote
talked
that,
about it.
Then you wrote so you just channeled it into the sketch called annoying.
So
each
annoying.
Other.
So annoying.
So annoying.
Is that what happened?
He wrote that.
Okay. Roy, you wrote so annoying the sketch, and is that a passive aggressive way to address?
Oh no, it was not actually.
Annoying. You guys are like YouTube therapists.
I know. It was actually like a sketch, like a renewal sketch from our old videos that we deleted. So
okay.
I was just made new.
Okay.
Good guess though. Yes.
Okay. All right. We're not gonna make it. You guys can just talk about your relationship later on your own time. You don't have to do it on our podcast.
We'll just call you if you have problems.
Yeah. We'll call you for round 2 in podcast.
One interesting dynamic.
Listen to this back, and the answers are all there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Are you guys seeing things that you're not saying? That
no,
you're like,
we are,
I know exactly what it is.
We have seen everything. We've said everything.
Were you guys there when we talked? Like,
and then you're like, oh yeah, we know what to talk about.
We've bugged you for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, there's another interesting dynamic, and that is the ladies.
Mm.
Alex, you've kind of struck a chord with the ladies.
What do you mean? How do you know?
Anytime you take your shirt off in a video, it's like there's a social media buzz.
Well, that's for
buzz.
The video. That's because so that will happen.
Well, and that's my question is, does that become something that it's like, all right, there's going to be a topless moment in this
No, usually it's like
video.
In it. I'm like, hey, I could take my shirt off for that. Cool. And then I do, like, just, it's not because I'm like cocky or I'm like, look at my body. It's because it makes the, it's like for the videos, like.
So it is calculated though, to add a little sex appeal.
A little bit, not like.
But Roy, are you like writing it into sketches?
Me?
No. Like, and here you take a shirt off.
Yeah, take a shirt off.
I think that all started actually because of the Call Me Maybe. I became like the heartthrob because he wrote me as the heartthrob. And then from there, I just became like typecast as the heartthrob.
You're just playing a role now.
Yeah, now I'm just like in that role forever. Because
not forever, you can change that.
No, I mean, Rolanda, that's it. Like, Rolanda loves Alex, and then Richard loves Rolanda. So Alex has to be the heartthrob that Rolanda wants, and then it just makes it makes Rolanda that much grosser.
Mm. So, you know what? Maybe there is some truth. Maybe something about the love triangle that you guys have created between the two of you on YouTube. Maybe that could be therapeutic somehow. Yeah. Just talk through that. If you can work through the love triangle of Richard, Rolanda, and Alex, you can solve all kinds of problems.
So what you're saying is we should talk about our feelings as Richard and Rolanda.
That's it.
I'm mad at you.
Hey, listen, that might be the key. It's like,
it's like sock puppet therapy.
It's like, yeah, you let my puppet talk to your puppet. Yeah. That's not a bad idea at all.
Oh, no. You're not mad at me right now, right?
I've never been mad at you. I just always felt like you were mad at me and you wouldn't tell me. You just
this
like,
is good.
I don't know. I just felt like you were mad at me for a lot of the times, and I would never know what it is, and then I would get an idea of it. So like the one thing you're like that we're not gonna talk about that I tried to contain it, and then the other like stuff I try to contain everything that I think bothers you that you don't tell me bothers you.
Well, you just go up to me and be like, hey, are you mad at me?
I could, but that's the easiest. I'm scared.
And what would you tell him?
What
would you be straight up with him?
Yeah. They're like, all right, let me think about this for a second. And then, I'm mad at you because...
Yeah.
I'm mad at you because...
Yeah. Here we go.
That,
yeah.
That makes it easier. Yeah.
But I'm scared like you're not mad. And then you're like, I'm not even mad. Like, what? And I'm like,
now
I don't
I'm
know.
Mad?
I don't know what I'm scared about. I don't know. I just... We got some stuff we got to work on.
That's good. But this is healthy, guys.
Yeah. Dude, I feel like it is. Actually, after that talk, like last week, I feel like our relationship has gotten better just in this last week. But we never, like, you guys making us seem like we hate each other, okay?
No, but listen, man.
I think it's normal to deal with it.
It's totally normal when you work together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, every duo we've talked to, and when we talked to Corridor Digital, they had this whole thing where they had to develop a signal on set for when they got into an argument so that that person, what do they call it, flash card?
They play the card. What is it? I can't remember.
Wild card.
Mm-hmm. Wild card, yeah.
When you play the wild card, which is just like saying wild card,
yeah.
You get your way and you get one of those per day so that they wouldn't butt heads.
They would fight on shoots in front of people and they would embarrass themselves.
So I think everybody, I mean, this applies to people who are in relationships in general, but we kind of got over the self-consciousness a long time ago of talking about our friendship in our creative partnership as if it was a relationship. Because, I mean, let's face it, that's what it is. It's not a romantic relationship, but it is a relationship. And so, when you spend that much time with somebody, I spend as much time with him as I spend with my wife. Mm. I'm with my wife during the evening, and we're asleep for most of that.
If you don't count sleeping time.
Right. And so you're going to have to apply the same kind of things. You're not going to stay married for 20 years unless you...
Have a pact.
Yeah, and you're not going to work together forever. It's not that you guys, that we sense that you guys are like, there's problems. Mm-hmm. It's just...
It's a given.
We're curious about how you handle those things. And so when we started asking about it, you're like, I don't know. Well, you told me to move. You told me to move out.
I know. And then you guys seemed excited, though. You're like,
we smell blood in the water sometimes, and we want to get to something juicy. I mean, this is an ear biscuit.
Yeah, dang. You're right.
We came here for a reason.
It was destiny. So from now on, I will bring it up. I will be like, hey, I'm checking if you're mad.
All right, just shoot me a wild card.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, okay. That's what your guy's wild card is. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. There's a commitment, and that is healthy. And
this
now we'll move on.
Draining.
You need to take a nap. Wake you up in 10 minutes.
No, I got my coffee, my mythical coffee. I'm good.
So, what are there any plans? Can you give us a scoop on anything, like creative? Ooh. Should we expect more of the same? Is there something else?
We were actually just talking about that on the way here.
Uh-oh.
Give it to us.
We're talking about doing like maybe a series or a movie. But that's a big step because like we got so comfortable in what we do now and like we're doing good at what we do now. So we're
but you see like Smosh, Smosh has got the movie. If does that apply some pressure?
It's like, wait, oh, we should out do movie that now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know. Oh, you don't know about it.
I don't know. I don't.
Maybe you'll watch the Smosh movie trailer and it'll apply some pressure for you guys. You know?
When is that coming out?
July 22nd.
That's
I just happened to remember that because I saw it on the end of the trailer. Isn't that right?
I haven't watched any YouTuber movies.
Really?
Yeah. Like.
Oh yeah. Neither have I.
There's like Shane Dawson had one, and then like
Camp Dakota.
They had that all one. Those, and then now Bad Weather Films is making one with Casper Lee and KSI, and then.
But I mean, I say Smosh because in terms of tone, it's not you guys aren't the same tone or the same audience, I guess. But there is some overlap. In just kind of like the crazy, it's over the top.
Yeah.
Like the tone, you know? So.
But what we were talking about is the movie is not like our net or what we usually do. We're thinking of doing like something more serious. So I don't
drama?
Know how it's going to vibe. It's
more like a romantic comedy.
Yeah, like a romantic comedy. But usually it's just straight comedy, like over the top, slapstick kind of stuff. So it's kind of scary because like we've never done anything like this. So we don't know how they're going to feel about it.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Only way to find out is to try it.
Yeah.
But like you might want to try it in a smaller form before the movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're doing. That's why we're talking about the series. Like a well-produced, high-quality series first, just to see how we do it. And then actually somebody was talking about directing.
Hey. Oh. I don't know how to, but I'll try.
Oh, you got to try it.
I can figure it out.
Yeah.
You just got to start doing it.
That'd be cool.
Well, fellas, thanks for... diving in the deep end with us now. Sign this table of dim lighting.
Here's the marker.
Thanks, fellas. And there you have it, our biscuit with Alex and Roy. I had a good time where that one went, you know, kind of, yes. Counselor mode.
Yeah.
But I think it's coming from a place of...
Well, first of all, let them know. Yeah, I want people to let them know how they appreciate them being open. Because when people come into an Ear Biscuit situation, I think they do know they're going to talk about some intimate things potentially.
Yeah, they told us that Olga Kay told them that she cried.
Right. They didn't cry.
They were a little... I think they had their guard up, or I don't know how they would put it, but
well, I think it came
they
down.
Were warned.
But if you could just thank them for that, you can do that via their Twitter. That's at Alex Wasabi and at Roy Wasabi. Of course, Roy is R-O-I,
and
not
Wasabi.
R-O-I.
And Wasabi is
it's two S's. Yeah, Wassabi. Hashtag Ear Biscuits. Let them know what you thought. And also, we also appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. That helps a lot. And you can comment along with the conversation on SoundCloud.
But I hope this came through in terms of their experience that it's not like we were trying to get something out of them to create a great Ear Biscuit. I think by that point in the conversation, there was so much resonance in kind of knowing two guys, friends, business partners. We're there. And we've been there a lot longer than they have. So we just kind of know it's key. Communication is key. I mean, to get through this, you got to get through these relational things in order to not overcomplicate how to run a business.
Communication is
key.
Or
vice versa.
Communication is key and conflict is guaranteed. That's what I would say. I think, you know, one of the interesting things, we haven't really talked about this before anywhere, I don't think, but, well, maybe a little bit. One of the things that we have seen repeatedly in the comments on Good Mythical Morning is... people like to point out, well, there seems like there's some tension between you guys. I think behind the scenes, Rhett and Link really hate each other. Or sometimes there might be a moment when we're being really authentic in Good Mythical More where one of us kind of pisses the other off or something like that.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I have observed in the younger generation of like teenagers who watch our show and are the most vocal commenters is that I think that they expect that their friendships – shouldn't be conflict free. So if you have conflict with somebody, therefore you can't be a friend with them. And first of all, most of that tension that people are perceiving is their perception. It's not really there. But when it is there, when we legitimately are getting on each other's nerves, or we legitimately have a disagreement that kind of makes its way out into, you know, our entertainment, that's expected. If you have any valuable friendship with somebody, you're going to have that.
I think it's almost like there's a reaction from the commenting segment of the GMM fan base that they fear that, like, we're going to break up or something. You know, like their parents are going to get a divorce. Like, oh, the parents are fighting. Rhett and Link are fighting. That means my show is going to go away. You're going to have conflict. I mean, even with my kids, sure, there's certain times where Christy and I we have conflict because we're humans and we're in a relationship. And a lot of times that's in front of the kids. We're not having like a yelling match in front of the kids, but we're having a disagreement. And
it's how you handle that conflict and reconcile that means a lot more to those kids than never having the conflict in front of them to begin with.
Right. And so, like, I come out and say to the kids sometimes, like, I can see concern on their faces when we're disagreeing. And so I'll say to them, I'll explain to them, this is part of it. This is part of a relationship, is that there's going to be conflict. And you just... It's the alarm shouldn't go off. It's how you handle it is where you have to hit pay dirt.
And when I hear that there's somebody who is it applies in relationships, you know, romantic relationships, but also friendships. When I hear that there's a couple that's getting married and they're like, we never fight, I'm like, okay, well, you are going to, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But I think that with friendships.
Or you're lying to me.
When I meet somebody who's been friendships, like Smosh was an example of this, and I think the Wasabi Bros kind of mirrored this a little bit. It's like the same thing happened, like we mentioned on the Ear Biscuit, that Smosh didn't seem like they had talked a whole lot about their feelings, you know, before. Right. And I think that me and you didn't do a lot of that until our 30s.
No, you're right.
You know, I mean, we've been over 30 for quite some time now. Our career has happened since then.
Yeah, I think it's a product of being married. I think, you know, being committed to making a marriage work, it's all about the relationship, and it's not complicated by, like, well, it's just a friendship and you're gonna... It'll blow over. Like two guys who are just best friends and college roommates, it's like, yeah, you tick each other off and it just blows over. But I quickly learned in a marriage that when you're that close to each other, you gotta resolve that stuff.
And it's when something's at stake and you're building something together. You know, a friendship where there's nothing at stake and it's just an acquaintance, or it's like, oh, I just enjoy hanging out with this person. Okay, I could see how there might not be conflict. But when you start building something together, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a business, there's things at stake.
Children.
There's people's desires.
An internet show.
Yep. You know, you have to start taking other people's will into account. There's going to be conflict.
Yeah, so I think we started to apply what we were learning in our marriages to each other, because we started coming up against that level of conflict. And it's still not the type of, it's not awkward to have that conversation.
No.
You know, whenever we have to have those conflict resolution moments, most of the time, it's still something that we stumble into. Like, we'll be having a creative conversation or a creative disagreement, and we've learned to pick up on
it will get personal
when there's something under the surface that is the real problem.
When it gets personal.
Right. And so what will happen is we'll be having a creative disagreement, but one of us or both of us are disproportionately angry about it. And then one of us will, like, break the seal on, like, personal honesty. Like, now I'm going to make this personal. You hurt my feelings when you said that because I felt like it was condescending, or you think I'm an idiot or something.
Right.
And I'll say something like that. And then we'll end up having an hour and a half conversation. sometimes in front of a team member that like makes him feel really awkward. But that, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that hasn't happened.
We did that back in North Carolina when we had.
Well, we did that when we were
Derek working for
we,
us.
Well, and we did that when we were in the one in the garage with Jason because there's no place to go.
Yeah, but
you know,
I remember Good Morning Chia Lincoln. We were having and doing that show where it was unedited. That was something that really brought it to the surface, and we started having these knockdown dragout fights, and like he would be sitting there like just waiting to get the footage so he could edit it.
Yeah, and I just, and again, I think that I can even almost feel it in the perspective of some of our younger listeners that they're like, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I think it's just because you probably haven't built something with someone else to the degree that a marriage or a business requires. So, you know, it's coming, and I'm just letting you know it's expected. You know, communication is key and conflict is guaranteed. Maybe it should go the other way. Conflict is guaranteed and communication is key. Put that on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or both.
And I know we've talked for a long time about this and the music playing because we're coming in for a landing and when this thing is wrapping up, but I don't know how helpful this is to hear our perspective. But hey, if it is helpful, then you're rewarded for sticking around to the end of this ear biscuit because I get a feeling not everybody does that. They might bail a little bit early. So.
Yeah, sure. If you bailed, well, you're not listening.
We just saved your friendship and your partnership or your marriage or whatever you've got. We just saved it. We take full credit for that.
You're welcome.
But you did hurt my feelings recently, and I'm talking to you, listener, not you, Rhett.
Hmm. Okay, that's going to be awkward.